Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com.
Fellow Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, very welcome, friends and guests. You're very welcome to Monday's episode of the Talk Show for Talkers. And today's episode, we will be educated, entertained, and enlightened by Moira O'Brien. So Moira, this week we'll be talking about writing skills, which is her third in the series of 8 episodes on how to become a proficient speaker. So Moira, over to you.
Thank you very much, Gerard. I love to be introduced by a triad, and also that you've taken out the first two lines of my introduction. So well done. We've so far covered confidence and researching, and today we're talking about writing skills. And in future episodes, we'll cover crafting content, speaking skills, presentation skills, knowledge of your subject, and finally, the story file. That's going to be an interesting one, possibly the most difficult one to do, but we'll see. Okay, writing skills. What are we talking about here? We're talking about not the content of your speech, but about the way that you go about creating the speech. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the number of words that you're going to use. Now, let me tell you what I do in my speeches. I sit down and I write the speech and I put in all the things that I think are worth putting in. And then I do a word count. And it usually comes out around about 1,000 words. Now, I speak at a rate of about 120 words a minute. Most people, I think, speak around about 130 to 140 words a minute. But that doesn't allow for laughter, for deliberate pauses, for emphasis, for going off script and extemporizing because you have something really important that just came to mind. So what I do is I look for my speech to be 100 words a minute. That is 700 words for a 7-minute speech. So I've got 1,000 words and I want to bring that down to 700 words. How are we going to do that? Well, you've obviously got to edit it. Go through your speech with a tooth comb and take out anything that is in there that does not support your message. Now, I know we're going to be talking about messages in the content section, but here we're talking about editing and making your words wholly to support your message. Now, it's not easy. It's probably easier to add fillers to fill up your speech to get it up to 700 words if you're short. But my advice to you there is actually don't fill it. If you are short, well, own it. If it's only going to come out to 6 minutes, what's the problem? Okay, you might get your evaluator saying, oh, you had all this time, you could have gone into this, that, and the other. But if you don't have the content that's going to support your message, don't bother. Don't worry about it. Stick with it. My next point, what language are you going to use? Are you going to use it as if you were reading a book, or are you going to use it as if you are talking face to face with your audience or with a person? And my recommendation is that you use spoken language. And there is a big difference between spoken language and written language. In written language, we do a lot of description, which in spoken language, we actually express with our body, with our face, with our hands, with movement around the stage, etc. So we don't need to record those sort of actions, which in a book or in a written word, you have to do because that's how you set the scene. So go for the spoken language as if you are speaking face to face with a person in your audience. And the next point is following on from that. In written language, in written description, we use narration a lot. And narration is, for example, saying, John said that he'd had enough of this stupidity, and then he went on to do X, Y, Z. But in dialogue, we can say that like this. John said, I've had enough of this stupidity, and then he went on to do X, Y, Z. You see the difference? In the one case, we are describing John. In the other case, we are actually bringing John to life and using his words as dialogue. So this is a very important way of bringing your speech to life. Use dialogue as much as possible when the characters in your speech are communicating with each other, or even when you, as the narrator, want to communicate with your audience. For example, I can see that Paul is thinking, what on earth is Moira talking about? She's talking off the top of her head. And what did I do there? I used dialogue, but it's projected dialogue. I'm projecting that onto Paul and saying, this is what Paul is thinking. Now, Paul may be thinking something completely different, but it doesn't actually matter, because all I'm doing is creating an image in the listener's mind that Paul is thinking something specific. So we can use that projected dialogue. We can use that in many different ways. We can project dialogue onto the characters in our speech. We can project it onto a particular person in the audience, or we could project it onto the whole audience. Doesn't matter. Projected dialogue is actually a very powerful way of expressing a thought. Right. A subject you've probably heard a million times. Knowing your audience. What does that mean? Well, knowing your audience in this context is crafting your content in such a way that your audience is going to be interested. So first of all, is your subject going to be of interest to your audience? Well, there are various reasons why it may or may not be interesting. First of all, are you educating them? If you're educating your audience, so long as you make it interesting, and it's maybe something that your audience can either relate to or make use of in their own life, then that's good. But if you're talking about something which is purely esoteric and has nothing to do with the audience's day-to-day life or anything that is going to be of physical use to them, then maybe you might think again about that subject. Or you might say, well, whilst this is no particular use to the audience, it's certainly going to be interesting enough to keep their attention. And maybe they're learning something new, even if they won't actually be using it. But I think the key thing to think about is, are you increasing the audience's knowledge? The best way of creating something which is going to be of real use and real interest to the audience is to have a message. And if you craft your content around that message, then you've got a good chance that the audience is going to be on your side, listening, interested, and attentive. Well, that's really all there is, I think, in terms of writing skills. And I know I've covered a certain amount of content as well, but we'll be going into content in much more detail next week. But I think the key thing to take away is this: keep your number of words down to 700 odd words for a 7-minute speech, and obviously conversely 600 for a 600 word speech, 1,000 for a 10-minute speech, etc. Just keep it to 100 words a minute. Use spoken language, don't use written language. Use dialogue wherever possible instead of narration. Editing, cut your content down, taking out anything that doesn't support your message, and know your audience. Make sure that your audience is going to be interested or increasing their knowledge. That's it. Paul, Gerard, do you have any comments to add?
Excellent, Moira. I think you're bringing terrific skills to the table that I absolutely agree with, where less is more, one of my favorite phrases. It's all a case of the quantity. Keep the quantity quality, basically. And thanks for bringing us that great episode today.
Thanks, Gerard. Paul, you're looking pensive.
Yeah, your title grabbed me, Moira. Writing skills. Now, I went off in a totally different direction when I heard the title of the episode. I went into literally the writing. In other words, what type of words? Short words? Words with several syllables? Adjectives? Adverbs? Use of long sentences? Short sentences? I went at it with a writer's perspective rather than a deliverer's perspective. So we could have a conversation on another occasion about the writing of a speech, meaning, I suppose, the composing of a speech. Oh,
that's next week's episode, Paul, which is crafting the content. There's quite a lot of crossover between the writing skills and the crafting skills, which is why some of the things that I was talking about today were really crafting items. But I wanted to keep them separately because under crafting content, I'm going to be talking more about rhetorical devices, the organization of your speech, the transitions, and the message.
If your English is your second, third, or fourth language, and you're preparing yourself to communicate in some way, and you have time to prepare as opposed to, you know, just do it off the cuff, you have time to think about which words you will use. And often, if it's your second, third language, you might even write down what you're going to say. Wouldn't be a bad way of practicing your English, because you'd be actually writing down the content and you'd be learning language and how to write sentences that are correct, if you like. Forget the exact content. But it means what your title has done, I think, has opened up the possibility for somebody listening to the episode that they will start to think about what kind of phrases, words they should use. And there will be a difference. Now, I am a native speaker of English, and I have a huge disability when talking to an international audience. Huge. Because I know too many words, and I could easily, without even thinking about it, use a word that the whole audience won't understand. And as soon as you do that, you've lost your audience, because they are then, instead of listening to the next sentence, they're then going, now what does that word Paul use mean? And they might even be more interested in the meaning of the word or the phrase. I had this recently at a Toastmasters Club meeting where I used a phrase, something like slowly, slowly, catchy monkey. Now, to me, I understand where that comes from and what it means and everything, but it was not a very wise thing to do, because 4/5 of the audience had never heard it before. One person in the audience did a load of research during the speech, went on to Google, found out the origin of the speech, and I'm sure they didn't listen to anything I was saying. So with that, I want to thank you, Maura.
Okay, Paul. Well, softly, softly, catchy monkey was the phrase that I used to use, but I take your point, being a bit of a wordsmith myself. Well, I used to be when I was younger. I've forgotten most of the words that I used to use, but that's what happens when you get old. Let's bring this to a close and invite you to join us again next week, when we'll be bringing you another 4 exciting episodes for your delectation and enjoyment. There you see, there's another word, Paul, that you probably don't understand.
Enjoyment. Now, that's much too difficult a word. And when Ralph C. Smedley said, we learn best in times.
Do you know, listeners, I have the power to mute Paul. anyway, come on, let's bring this to a close, and we'll see you again at the same time, Friday, 4 p.m. next week. Bye for now. Bye.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
You for listening.
The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.